We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good morning, everybody. It's okay. It's fine.
Morning, everybody.
My voice again. Too bad it's like my instrument. Whatever. It'll get better. Grant Bills, Paul Emig. It's day. It's also, as we release this, it is tailgate day. It is tailgate day. Matt in the Falls had asked me if I'm nervous. I told him I'm excited for it to be a memory. I just want it to go well. I think it will. I think we're going to be prepared. My alarm went off so I could wake up to do this. I think we're going to be prepared. I think I'm bringing name tags.
Are you really?
I think we should.
That's sick. Let's go.
And and I'm bringing waters because now it's going to be like a fucking 100.
And they told us our Apple weather app was wrong.
Yeah, now they're telling us we're still wrong because feels like doesn't count. Well, then why'd you post it?
I'm a meteorologist.
Yeah. I'm also what?
I just feel like Apple weather's close enough. Like, sure. Yeah. Maybe it's not the best, but ballpark is fine. It's going to be hot as hell. And they told us that we were wrong.
Yeah. I mean, what's the difference between 100 and 110?
Yeah.
Miserable versus a little bit more miserable.
I think we'll be okay. I think we'll be okay. Just I don't like faint on me.
I also like that you just scheduled it. Not only did, of course, you do it on like the hottest day ever, but there's an event happening downtown Milwaukee on the same day, so I'm sure traffic will be very easy for you all.
Well, who's like, can you go to the debate?
I don't know how that works.
I signed up to win a package from the Ron DeSantis campaign to spend the day with him and to come to Milwaukee to enjoy the debate with a front row seat, but I did not win. So whoever won that is getting to go. I don't know about the rest of the crowd.
I mean, I'll look right now for tickets.
Is it a ticket thing? Like, you can just, like...
Well, because I don't think they want... because they don't just want, like, a group of liberals to get in there.
That's true.
And, like, boo everything. The event is not open to the general public.
There you go.
You that have to sense. Know someone politically connected to get in.
Your boy's okay. With Dan Schaefer, aren't you? Can he get you in?
Oh, is Dan going as press?
I don't know.
Well, I'm busy. I have a tailgate.
Post game show though, after the debate, debate wrap up. That would be electric.
Oh, like the spin room. We'll do our own spin room.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. Well, speaking of anything else. Great to be with you boys. Grant Bills, Paul Emig.
Mm-hmm.
I put my kid to bed the other night. My kid at night is getting like weird that he doesn't want to be around me.
Oh no.
Only at night.
Is that like mom time for him?
No, he says, that's when daddy work on his computer. So it's like cats in the cradle over here.
Oh yeah, for sure. That's rough.
Now, as I've mentioned, I'm in this period where, I mean, we have the tailgate, so Oh my God, guys, how long can I ride this out?
You sound like RFK.
Junior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My son won't see me before he goes to bed. And I don't know why.
What was I saying?
You were, I don't know, trying to change.
I have the tailgate.
Yeah.
I worked on Monday, August 21. My next scheduled day that I have a shift is Sunday, September 3. So am I on vacation or unemployed?
You're on unpaid time off. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree with mm-hmm. that. I agree with Paul.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's ask a couple questions.
I have one that I'm really excited with, and I hope you'll let me start with it. Can we begin with a Chuck and Winkler question?
Sure.
All right. This one I think will be a good discussion at the old tailgate. And I preface this part, I shouldn't have to, but I'll do it for the sake of your audience. And, you know, all forms of Chuck and Winkler were things I enjoyed. All right. You know that. The Chuck and Winkler show, Chuck and Winkler, was at its best when Bart and Chuck did not like each other. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm. Bart, your thoughts. I've thought about this question constantly since the reunion episode last week.
Well, one thing that Jake had told me or tweeted was he thought it was too pleasant this last episode. But towards the end, he thought he could feel, and I didn't agree with him, but I think like there needs to be the threat of it blowing up. Without it blowing up. Like if you listen to Chuck and Winkler, it needs to be like watching a guy on a tightrope. Like walk across buildings.
For
like,
sure.
He's not gonna do this. If he's going to die in front of you. But he's on a tightrope between two buildings. He might die. So I don't know. Maybe people like that part of it. For me, I don't want to go back to that.
Well, so I'll interject briefly just to say that I...
And some of that couldn't have... Like, some of that could not have been good.
Oh, it was all good. From a listener's perspective, oh, it was very entertaining. Now, having said that, my brief interjection is to say that I remember messaging with you at the time where I said, I'm sure this is not good for you, Bart. Like, I'm sure it was not when the things got really, really tense, and I'm sure it wasn't good for your like blood pressure and your heart rate. And I would not advise it as your friend to continue. It just wasn't probably wasn't good for you. As a listener, though, oh my God. Those tense moments were radio gold. I thought it was great.
Well, I don't like with all the entertainment options out there in 2023. I don't think that listening to two like losers argue each other about respect is what anybody needs these days.
It was more when it was like now the alpha thing has become a joke between the two of you and between, you know, but when it was like a real debate where it was like, no, player, like this is what an alpha does. This is how an alpha talks. And when it was things like you saying like your babe, no, I would say your Babe Ruth stuff, but the one that sticks in my mind, and I only think
Babe Ruth is fat and he sucks.
I think you were only partially joking back in 2017 or 2018. In that time range, when you said if it would help the Brewers go to the World Series or win a World Series, you would jump onto the field to grab the ball and get arrested. And like it was this whole long story that you had. And Chuck was like, Bart, you don't mean that. And you're like, yeah. No, I mean, like if it's to help the Brewers win the World Series, of course I would. Why wouldn't you? And he's like, you can't say that. You can't say that on the radio. It was the most wonderfully awkward thing ever, maybe.
He also didn't like when I said I want to turn over a car at a parade.
Oh yeah, that was another one.
But I would buy the car.
I remember the.
Yeah, park it. I remember. Yeah, that's right.
You be responsible it for its removal.
That's right.
I just want to experience flipping a car at a parade.
I'm just gonna try to do my Chuck. Oh, Bart. Oh. You can't say it.
That's pretty good. I forgot about the car flipping. How you had it all laid out. I will buy the car. I will do this. I will do that. I forgot about that.
Yeah. I say, mm-mm. I'm saying, mm-mm.
At its best when you guys get along.
Yeah.
Both versions are great. Both versions are great. At its best, when there was hatred boiling. Grand tailgate attender, your thoughts? Mm-hmm or mm-mm?
I don't think they needed to fight to be good.
Correct.
I think they could fight too much, and then it would just be like, ugh. And Bart would feel it. He'd be like, we can't do this again today, Chuck.
Yeah.
We can't do this for a third straight hour. But it was entertaining. But you guys were great even when you were in a good mood and you were getting along.
Yep.
It's not like you had to be arguing. And I do agree that if you did a show today, I think it would be different, Bart, because I don't know. I'm with you. Like I think you've evened out.
I've matured.
You've matured. You've matured so much. You're saying matured now. Matured.
Have you matured to the point yet where you call it an envelope?
I think I am an envelope guy.
Oh, see, now that's a sign of maturing.
I need an envelope.
Maturity.
Maturity. Yeah, any envelopes? Envelope. Yeah, I go envelope.
Well, really? Do you go aunt or aunt?
Like for your uncle's wife?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Aunt is the most pretentious thing.
All right. Well, the answer is aunt. So you can take that pretentiousness and shove it because it's.
You say aunt?
Let me think about it in real. Yeah, yeah.
I can't even get my lips to do that.
There's a U there. A U.
My aunt Michelle.
There is a U. Paul is correct.
No. What about Auntie?
Auntie Anne's pretzels? Like, is that where you're going?
Auntie Annie's pretzels.
I would say Auntie Anne.
Oh, Auntie really?
Anne sound a lot better.
Oh, I would not.
Auntie is like,
hi, Auntie.
Saying aunt is like going to the front door of your house and going inside. Saying aunt is like walking all the way around the house and then going. It's like you're stretching it out for no reason. Aunt.
All right.
What Chuck would say.
HappyPlaceHemp.com, promo code BART. 25% off every order at HappyPlaceHemp.com. I want to see you guys all with your eyes fried out when you get to the tailgate. Is this the Bart Winkler tailgate? Nah. But maybe during the game. Promo code is BART, 25% off every single purchase, every time you order. When you go into the website, you type in BART, and it gives you 25% off every time, even if you did it already, even if you've never done it. And you can go to Muskego. College Court is where they're located, across from Maddie's. And you could say, they'll say, how'd you hear about us? And you'll say, the Bart Winkler Show. And they'll be like, first guy ever to do that. No. But then they'll give you 25% off. Chris and Rob, say hi. Happy Place Hemp. Promo code BART. Send me a screenshot of your order. I always like to see. You DM it if you want. My DMs are open and still accessible until they take that away too. HappyPlaceHemp.com, promo code BART.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm here with Grant Bills and Paul Emig on today's episode. See, my voice is better.
Mm-hmm. How great is this? Wow. I did go to bed last night pretty amped up to get to talk to you gentlemen this morning. I don't know what it is. This week, I was really looking forward to it.
I was too. Mm-hmm. There are times more than others where I'm just like, all right, is it time? Is it Tuesday morning? This was one of those things.
I did want to say that if I'm going to do some sort of show during the tailgate, we're going to be playing music, so it's not
going to work. Yeah.
I am putting together a Bart Winkler Show tailgate playlist on Spotify. I'm trying to remember all your old bumpers. And I remember some, but I'm sure there's some that I'm forgetting.
Well, make sure you get Even Flow.
You got to have Even Flow. You got to have Rage Against the Machine, Bulls on Parade.
Less I Know, the Better. And that song by Caesar, Jerk It Out, Shake It Out, Jerk It Out.
And then though it wasn't bumper music, I think you'll need a few hits by the band called The Weeknd.
Yeah, correct.
And I think that'll be just, for storyline's sake, that'll be important.
Correct. Bart, you did bumpers very well. In my opinion, that's the sign of a true radio person. Because I listen to some stations, some shows, and it's like, they don't get it. They don't get it. It doesn't click for them how it's supposed to sound and how this is supposed to work. There's just a lot of people that don't get it. And before, all of my coworkers get it, I believe. But I listen to other stations, and it's just like,
Every time I listen to the Brewers on the radio, I always catch the Gavin DeGraw bumper.
And it's good. Is it right? That's the first. I agree. That's a great bumper. I like when they do Boulevard by Jackson Browne. I think that's a tremendous bumper. They have a country song that's a real rager. Shit. Which one is it? Well, now I have a second playlist to make now.
Anyways. When I worked at KFIZ and we did high school sports, I would take the Brewers, what they did as bumpers, and use them for our high school bumpers to stay consistent.
So the station has a consistent sound. See, this is radio guy, not in radio. It's a travesty. Anyways, Paul, I'm monopolizing your show. Paul, please.
No, it's all good. All right, now I have a Packers one, not a Chuck and Winkler verse. Chuck and Winkler verse. All right, Bart.
Can I complain about Bob Uecker for a second?
Whoa. Sure.
No, there's one commercial now that they run too, where it's like a Q&A, like Bob's asking like a guy about, I don't know, setting up a deck or some shit like that. You know, those type of commercials.
Trex composite decking.
I don't know. But Bob, it's clearly recorded separate. And the recorder that they use for Uecker is way worse. This guy recorded it into a microphone, and Uecker recorded it like the phone was recording and he was on the other side of the room. It's just really sloppily edited. And I know that Bob's time, it's Bob Uecker, but you can, even if he's not going to come to the studio, you can get a nice piece of equipment in his face for 5 minutes. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, how old is that? Oh, yeah, yeah.
I like it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you bet.
I like it because it hasn't changed in years, and it's just kind of shitty. That's why I love that commercial.
I hate the, Oh, yeah, you bet.
You bet. Right? It's just dudes being dudes. We don't need to, not every commercial needs to be the world. It can be kind of silly.
All right. So less a complaint about Bob and more of a.
That's a production complaint. That's not a Bob. That's not a talent complaint.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bart, you suggested, and I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget. You suggested
during. Does anybody want to know what's behind me on my Dan Shaney YouTube stream?
Yes, very much.
You can interject all these things before you let Paul start his question. And then when you're done, let Paul start. You wait until Paul starts and then you jump in.
I left a pause so that you could have maybe said something else and then.
They made me a drawing of the Bradley Center.
I see that.
That's a Planters Peanuts mirror that used to be at my grandma's. I just put the WBA award up.
Nice.
That's the 1990 Packers with everyone's autograph except for Brent Fullwood. My wife got me this, and then I thought the Packers were going to – she got me that in 13 because then I thought the Packers would win. It's a four-time Super Bowl champs. I thought it'd be outdated. There's some other shit. Okay.
Should I try again?
Yeah, ask Grant. I'm going to go give my son a hug goodbye before school.
Okay. That's very
the only way Paul's going to get through his question is if you leave. So maybe that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay, leave.
Okay.
I think I hear him stomping. Couldn't tell what that was. All right, Grant. Bart suggested during his Friday episode, and then he said the following. He said, you know what, maybe Paul will bring this up. So I'm like, oh, I will take the cue. He's probably since forgotten. He said, well, he was debating whether it was a more important season for Matt LaFleur or Jordan Love. I don't know if you've talked about this. I don't know. I'm not usually up on all the latest Twitter conversations as well. To me, it was something I had not personally considered or thought about. I'm going to ask you whether you think this is a more important season for Matt LaFleur. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think so. Cause I think he's under the gun in lots of different ways. Like, yes, he needs to call the right offense and set Jordan Love up for success. And that's really important this year, because I think for years, Paul, we've said, we just want someone who can run the offense.
Yeah.
Well, that means that your offense better be pretty good, right? If you're getting rid of a quarterback, and there were lots of reasons they got rid of Rodgers, but if you are moving on for a quarterback that does less and simply runs your offense, that means your offense better be pretty good. So the offense better be pretty good. So Matt LaFleur is obviously the gun or under the gun for that reason. I think that he is going to have his work cut out for him this year in getting some of the veterans to buy in and to wrap their arms around a season where they'll probably take a step back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they went 9-8 last year, or 8-9.
Yeah.
But there was the threat, there was the promise of them being a postseason contender right until the bitter end.
Yeah.
If they get to week 10 and it becomes clear that they're not in the postseason race, then he's going to have his work cut out for him with players like Devondre Campbell and Rasul Douglas and Jaire Alexander and Kenny Clark. Getting those players to still wrap their arms around this season and be excited about working with the young guys and making progress with the young guys. That's not really something that a Packers coach has been tasked with for a long time. I understand that there were down years because of injuries, you know, 2017, 2018, but an honest to goodness team that just isn't good enough to make the postseason possibly, and a coach needing to sell that to his players and to his locker room and to still keep things building in the right direction, that's a big task. And that's ultimately going to be Matt LaFleur's task. And if Anders Carlson stinks and has some hiccups, that's something else he's going to have to sell to his team. So I think not just from a schematic standpoint, Matt LaFleur has got a lot of different things on his plate this season. So yeah, I'll say Matt LaFleur.
Bart, I'll reset this for you in a moment now that you're back, but I'll just respond to Grant real quick. More than likely, you know, you're talking about like the veterans in the locker room who will have, what type of thoughts will they have going on if the season's like 3-6 or something, and not like a 3-6 where it's like, you know, things are turning around, but like a 3-6 where it's like, okay, this is just what we are. David Bakhtiari is not a Packer next year, right? I think we mostly agree on that. Is Aaron Jones probably, I know he said this 4 years in a row, but it's probably not. Is AJ Dillon He's on the last year of his rookie deal. Maybe not a Packer next year. Is Rashawn Gary, like, what is he going to get the extension? I mean, I think we assume he is, but he's coming off the ACL. How long are they going to wait to offer him an extension? Will it happen before March of 2024 when he's officially a free agent? So if you start to go into business for yourself because you're like, well, I'm not under contract next year. Or if you are under contract, it's a very lightly guaranteed situation. So there's a lot of really key players who, if the season is not going well, will have to be managed, coached in a particular way. Bart, to reset it for you, you suggested this. I'm curious if you remember saying it, but you said this during your Friday episode where you contemplated momentarily of who this is a more important season for, Matt LaFleur or Jordan Love. And you said, maybe we'll ask it during So I jotted that down and remembered it. Do you recall this at all?
I don't even know who you are.
Okay, so that's that. Then you definitely don't remember what you said 4 days ago.
I do remember.
Okay, so I wanted to ask it. I thought it was an interesting thought that Grant just answered. Not sure how much of it you caught before you returned. This is a more important season for Matt LaFleur than it is for Jordan Love.
My son was cats in the cradling me. He's like, I don't want to give daddy a hug.
Oh, no.
I think, well, first of all, do you like how everyone is like, oh, shit, Jordan Love might be good now?
Even McAfee now, Grant, you wouldn't see this because you're blocked, but I saw his 3-minute clip on just how good Jordan Love looks.
But
nationally, the talk is how good Jordan Love is, and locally, at least in some sections of the interwebs, is like the Sean Clifford nonsense. So, the national story is evolving in a positive direction. The local story is in a bit of a weird little moment here. But sorry, go ahead.
That's because we get there's so many takes in preseason, and we're all trying to extinguish this one.
Yeah.
All of our energy is so we're actually amplifying it.
Yeah.
Just let it be.
Yep.
Okay. So two things. One, before I answer your question, I don't want McAfee talking about Love. I don't like when he does it. You're a Rodgers show. You're a Rodgers guy. Also, who's the guy that's a Packer fan on their show? Ty?
That sounds right.
If he's a Packer fan, that's great. He's become the most notable Packer fan. I don't like that. I don't like that all Packer questions go through this man. And then he gets to talk to Rodgers and he's on ESPN. Him? Okay. Also, I watch Kurt Benkert on Twitter. And I understand what he's going through. He feels like he was wronged and he wants to be vindicated. And this was a story of my life. But what was he wronged in? This guy was released as the quarterback. He never complains about not getting a chance to be a quarterback. He's always complaining about the social media. The social media department is probably the third string quarterback walks in and says, guys, I got all these ideas. And they're probably Kurt, that's not how we do things. And he's like, oh, they were so curmudgeon. No, it's the third string quarterback walking into the social media room.
Yeah.
Why are you here? Go win the job, Kurt. Go try to play. What are you doing? You had a nice game in the preseason. Go build on that. So it's does he want to be a quarterback or does he want to be in social media? It's just weird. Every time I open up my For You tab, it's I told you so about this. And anyway.
You know what you could do? You could block him. Oh, wait, just kidding. You cannot block him.
Well, I can while I can. I think it is a more, is it a more important year for Love or LaFleur? I think because if Love sucks, he's done.
Wait, say that again.
If Jordan Love sucks, they will move on.
After one starting season?
If he sucks.
You think there's a scenario outside of recovery from an injury like an ACL situation that Jordan Love is not the 2024 week one starter?
Well, I don't think so because I don't think he sucks.
But let's just play it out. Like, I don't think there's a Zach Wilson level of bad he would have to be. First off, he won't.
15, then they're drafting Drake May.
But would they start him week one of his rookie season when this whole thing is about, oh, you sit? I'm not saying you would sit Drake May for 3 years. And I don't watch college football. I know who Drake May is, but like you, I don't think you would. Would you? I don't know. Okay, so that's the scenario. If you're 2-15 and you draft Drake May, that's the scenario where Jordan Love is the starter.
Well, I'm just trying to think like where the urgency is. So is there a scenario where Jordan Love's not the quarterback next year? Is there a scenario where Matt LaFleur gets fired?
Yeah,
I think they're both here next year, probably regardless.
I think that's I would agree with that.
But if Love looks good and they're like 6-11, I mean, we don't know if Jordan Love is good. We don't know if Matt LaFleur is good.
Who do you think is more likely to prove to be good?
Love.
LaFleur. I agree with. Whoa, interesting. Okay, say more.
I don't know. I think he'll get guys open.
Did you hear my great? I don't know if you caught. So here's my great take that I brought to CBS Sports Radio. And when I do so much CBS Sports Radio, so I used to think of it as, play around here, and then flesh out the thoughts and give them to the masses. Now when I did so much CBS Radio for a week. And it was a Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday afternoon, Monday morning swing, where I just felt like I was there the whole time.
A wraparound series.
It really was. So when I'm doing that primarily, I just flesh out thoughts as they come there with no filter. And one of the things that I said was coaches should be required once during training camp to play a game of Madden in front of their team. Because I want to see what your strategies are and what you like. But I also want to see you clock manage. I want to see you clock manage. I think there's some coaches that scoff at the idea of Madden. Where else do they get clock management practice? Everyone's so bad at this.
Yeah,
these preseason games that are ending in ties. You're already there. Play it out. You have something to play for. That Washington-Baltimore game was exciting. It's on the play for. They beat the streak. Paul, I don't know if you taped that and watch it later.
I'm aware of what happened. Yes.
It's like you're already there. Do something.
You're already there. Good song by Lone Star. I just don't think Madden is a very good game, but I do like the idea of them needing to put it on the line in front of their players. Like the boss needs to find a way to occasionally remind those under him that he could do any of their jobs better than they could, more efficiently. Like that reminder needs to be there. I'm a big fan of every once in a while the boss showing up and just showing everyone what's up. I don't know if Madden's the way to do that, but I also don't know.
Like when Michael Scott would go to a client and just kick ass.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you suck as a boss, but.
But you got to be the boss because you were such a good salesperson. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So why I'm saying all this is I still think there's a lot where, like LaFleur, I do believe knows a lot about football. And I do believe like understands some of this stuff at a different level. But he is doing a lot of the coaching stuff, especially in game, for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And every time he screws it up. So maybe he's got 4 years now.
What are you talking about? First time. It's just year five, isn't it? Year five, four.
Yeah, but he's still doing things last year where he's like, you know, I got to prepare for that better. And there's a whole thing with when they travel in the playoffs. He just doesn't know what the fuck's going on.
I think if he tries to play those excuses this season, I think it should fall on extremely deaf ears because to Grant's point, he is new at this. Generally, relatively speaking, but you can't be this far into your head coaching career and still be saying, yeah, you know, I guess I got that one wrong. And we probably should have left a day earlier I would not recommend you going that route this year, buddy.
Well, keep it to yourself with that stuff. Like, if you guys mess up the travel, I don't care. Like, I don't want to hear about it. You should have traveled a day earlier and you think you lost because of that, keep it to yourself. Because I don't want to hear it.
By the way, I always thought he might have been doing some of that, saying some of that. Not just the travel stuff specifically, but some of his like falling on the sword stuff. I thought he might have been doing that to protect Rodgers' ego.
Totally. Yeah.
And now
it makes him look shitty.
It totally made him look shitty. And I think he accepted that to keep the relationship with Rodgers as strong
which is absurd.
Right. I think if things work out perfectly, Rodgers will play a few years for the Jets and then Zach Wilson will step in and it'll be 18 to 20 years of elite quarterback play. I just think that's okay. Sorry. Tangent. But yeah. So wait, so Bart, you're saying, oh, keep going. I interrupted. Sorry.
I think there's probably more pressure on Love.
I agree with that. Oh, Grant,
shaking. He'll get Love's gonna get dissected every goddamn throw he makes.
Yeah,
Matt LaFleur's not. Matt LaFleur, if Love sucks, he'll get a pass again.
No. We're also gonna look for every reason under the sun to prove to ourselves and to say that Jordan Love is good. Like we're gonna comb over every Jordan Love play and we're gonna be like, see, there it is. That's why. Like, I don't know. I think Matt LaFleur is more under the gun this year. Or at least that's how I felt. We talked about this. I remember filling in for Bill with his former producer, Ben, for 2 weeks in April and May. We talked about this nonstop. I think LaFleur is under more pressure. And something we didn't even mention, he brought back Joe Barry.
I was going
to
mention
no one believes is a good defensive coordinator. So if the defense gets off to a crummy start through six games, and everyone's looking around thinking, we're doing this again, we're wasting another season again on a guy that we're all but sure is not the answer for our defensive coordinator. What are we doing? So that's another thing that Matt LaFleur has on his plate.
I was going to, Grant, if you hadn't mentioned it, that was my next thing is it's not just about how LaFleur manages in game. It's not going to just be about how he runs the offense. It's going to be about the success of Joe Barry's unit, because if it's not good, guess who not only brought Joe Barry back, but had like this staunch defense of like, this is an accomplished good defensive coordinator in the NFL.
Yeah.
And he stuck his neck out there by bringing him back, but also then the defense of Joe Barry. And so, yeah, I totally agree with you, Grant.
I think the offensive coordinator stuff will be there for LaFleur. I think we'll see the scheme. I mean, go back and watch highlights from 2020 when Rodgers won his first MVP, and you can see, oh, there's a LaFleur thing, and that's different, and I haven't seen this before. And, like, I think the offensive coordinator stuff will be fine. It's a lot of the other things that I think have been the question with LaFleur. But by and large, I think he's a very good coach.
If you have confidence in LaFleur to win week one, I would suggest picking the Packers as your survivor entry in the Splash Sports pool. Go to splashsports.com/Winkler and sign up today for our $20 survivor pool. Winner takes the pot. The more people that play, the more you can win. So get your friends to sign up. splashsports.com/Winkler.
Good read. Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts on Love, LaFleur?
I think we hit most angles there. I don't think we missed anything.
Bart? Good conversation.
I agree.
Breaking Monday news was about Jonathan Taylor. There are at least three teams that should trade a first-round pick for the services of Jonathan Taylor. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm.
So what I saw,
I was waiting to see what you were doing.
Was they were talking about this maybe during the Monday night game, but what Jonathan Taylor wants is a contract,
which he's not.
So getting. You have to, like, if you're trading for him, are you going to give him that contract? But then,
oh yeah,
but then you have to get him. So you're essentially paying him, but you're paying a team for him.
You are paying to pay him.
You're paying twice.
Which is almost always the case in these situations where it's a star player, a well-reputable player who's like that's how this works.
And then there's the Colts don't want to pay him money, right. But they want a first-round pick from, like, they don't value him a certain way, but if you want him, you need to value him that way. And so it's like, I have this thing I don't want. Oh, can I have it for a fair price? No, you must have it for the most price.
Yep.
Yeah. That's a good breakdown.
Yeah. Are there teams that should trade for him? Who's a Jonathan Taylor away from the Super Bowl?
I tried to do this on air the other night on my show. I'm just reaching for the fun. Like, what would be the most fun destination? Like, what
Dolphins.
Would make the most sense?
Dolphins.
Dolphins would be cool because they would have a track team between Tyreek Hill and Waddle, and like it would be great. And Bart is drinking out of a mug that has a B for Bart, I'm assuming.
Yes, I've used this mug before, and they also these were the mugs they used on Will and Grace.
Mm.
Is there Mountain Dew in there, or are you drinking coffee and a Mountain Dew right now?
I'm drinking both. This is Pete's coffee.
Nice. Promo code Pete at checkout. I think the Dolphins would be the most fun. I don't know if it makes a world of sense for the Dolphins.
Why not?
Well, because it's Mike McDaniel, who hails from Kyle Shanahan's tree. And what do we say about Kyle Shanahan? You just plug in whatever running back. Raheem Mostert.
What did Shanahan go out and trade for last season? And it completely changed his offense.
I don't know that it did. It was fun. Oh, yes, it was great for fantasy owners. I don't know that it completely changed his offense.
I thought that was a dumb trade.
Okay.
But you were wrong, right? You agree, like you. I remember you thinking it was a dumb trade, Bart. But you changed your tune, right?
No, they don't need him.
Oh, okay.
Why do the Niners need McCaffrey?
I didn't like the trade either. I would not have traded all that for Christian McCaffrey if I was San Francisco. Then I saw it happen in front of me, and I said, oh, now I get why you did
that. Why do the Niners think they can win a Super Bowl with Brock Purdy?
Because that's all you sometimes need in that type of system.
No, everyone's going quarterback that we've drafted and developed, or we have a good team and we're going to get a – elite quarterback towards the end of his career,
which is a dumb way of team building, but yes,
but it's worked recently for, not to call Stafford elite, but it's worked recently for the Rams, Buccaneers, Broncos.
It shouldn't have worked for the Rams. We should not use the Rams as evidence for that as a
but those are the two ways that teams win Super Bowl, and now the Niners are like, nah, we can just throw any fucking guy at quarterback and win.
I love the plight of Kyle Shanahan and the Niners. There's a Greek tragedy to it, and that Kyle Shanahan probably sits at home at night and thinks, if I could just get the quarterback that my fellow coaches have, then I would win titles. But he can't, because the fact that he doesn't have a great quarterback is why his roster is so good. So he sits at night and thinks, I have the roster, I have the offense, I need the quarterback. But if you have the quarterback, then you don't have the it's like trying to keep two dogs in a bathtub at the same time. And this is the plight. This is the tragedy of Kyle Shanahan. And I love it that he's stuck and that he can't get out of it. I enjoy it a lot, mostly because I don't like the Niners. They've bounced our Packers from the playoffs a good number of times.
Very good analogy.
Thank you.
See how much analogies help.
Yeah. Oh, analogies are the best.
Like I described aunt versus aunt as walking around your house.
It helps to visualize things.
I've got a breaking weather update. Lindsay Slater of Channel 12 said, big heat coming. excessive warning in effect for Wednesday.
There's a heat dome covering a good portion of the greater United States right now. It's a term that I had never seen until the other day.
Mark, who is coming to the tailgate.
Wait, the says, Mark from all the emails throughout the years?
No, coming? This is a real Mark. Any chance for a light breeze during the Brewer game? He responded to Lindsay. And Lindsay responded, Southeast win 5-15.
So not much.
I think I'm going to bring a fan. I think I'm going to bring one of those clip-on fans. Can you bring those into the game?
Is there a way I can plug a fan into, like, can I plug like a power cord into my car somehow?
We are going to get the pleasure. All the tailgate attendees are going to get the pleasure of watching a man sweat more than any man in the history of the world has ever sweated tomorrow.
Me?
Yes.
I know.
You hate hot weather more than anyone I've ever met.
So this is the Greek tragedy. Is that I have this tailgate and it's the hottest day of the year.
Mm-hmm. Hottest day of the year.
I wonder if people will bail. I wonder if people will say, ah, fuck it. I'm not going to go to this.
Oh, I would never. In fact, the vacation day I'm taking tomorrow is going to allow me to also get drunk tonight. So I'm Ubering into Madison and I'm going to get into some trouble. And then I'm going to wake up at 10 tomorrow and make my way down 94 and do it all over again. I'm going to bring a big old cooler. I need to bring some cash for you and old M and the F. Because you guys are doing too much. I mean, maybe you're not. This is your tailgate after all, and you are seasonally unemployed at the moment. So maybe, I don't know. But
no, I've spent money on this.
Yeah. You should be reimbursed. So I'm gonna bring some cash, bring some beers. I'll bring Captain for you, Bart. That'll be
it. No, I'm not doing any hard liquor.
You shouldn't. Neither should I.
Let me just be clear, Grant, counter to Grant, if I was going and then I saw the weather was going to do this, I would bail like a motherfucker.
Oh, come on, Paul.
All right,
just a little heat.
I do think Bart and I would probably be top contenders against each other for the
I think eight, if people eight are going to championship. I think if you're on the cusp of bailing.
On the come?
Come to the tailgate and bail on the game.
Isn't Corbin Burns pitching Wednesday?
Yeah, go watch him at Kelly's or some shit.
Tomorrow. Go spend money in Milwaukee. Go support Milwaukee.
Oh, look at you, Bart. Yeah.
Good for you, though.
So, if you're thinking of bailing, come to the tailgate.
I'll go see our friends at Stenny's instead. But Kelly's bleachers sounds nice.
Stenny's. Coaches.
Third base, fourth base.
Whoops.
Yeah, go to fourth base. Go to fourth base, say hi to CJ.
I'm going to get the shaved steak sandwich.
That's what I like.
Yeah. I mean, they'll make whatever. I mean, that's the cool thing about it is you can kind of just specifically point to things in the hot case and ask for it, and they'll make it. CJ will make it for you.
Hot case.
All right. What were you saying?
That was a Nelly reference.
We all got it. Moved on, though.
Thanks. I don't know if Grant tailgate attender got it because he's a young man. Grant, you don't remember the song Hot Shit?
No, Nelly, I remember Just a Dream. And that's about it off the dome at the moment.
Just a Dream.
That's your Nelly reference, huh?
What is that?
What about, no, he probably likes, well, it's all in my head. I think about it over and over again.
Is that the one with Florida Georgia Line?
Tim McGraw.
Yeah, Tim McGraw.
Oh, I like Tim McGraw.
Yeah.
I'd listen to TMG at the tailgate tomorrow.
I'm just disturbed that your Nelly references are not like country grammar.
You're bent out of shape because I referenced the incorrect Nelly song.
Oh, big. This is going to ruin my day. It's not.
Tim McGraw's dad was a 2-time world champion.
Tug McGraw, people forget.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other Jonathan Taylor teams that you throw out, Grant, on your show? I'm looking through
people
a list.
People are throwing out the Bears.
Yeah, I mentioned the Bears.
What's their? I mean, other than Khalil Herbert, who did they let Montgomery go? But they added Dante Foreman, right?
They've got this Johnson kid.
Oh yeah, where was he picked? Mid to late.
I don't know. Herbert seems to be the guy right
No. Their quarterback is a running back, so you don't really want to take snaps and carries away from him.
Disagree.
I kid. I said Pittsburgh would be kind of cool.
What about Najee Harris? They just drafted him in the first round.
Who gives a shit? I don't know.
He's stinky, but he was drafted in the
first round. They have a bunch of UW-Madison guys there. Nick Herbig looks great. Keanu Benton, TJ Watt. Be kind of cool.
Oh, I got to buy Madden yet and do my Badger team. I always buy Madden and then make a team all Badgers.
Really?
Yeah, but then I have to fill it in with like, because there's like 40 Badgers that were in camp or 35. I could. Should I be a Kurt Benkert?
When you have choices in life, never be a Kurt Benkert.
You should stream video. I think people would watch you stream video games. I just don't know if Matt. I won't watch you. Well, I'll probably watch whatever dumb shit you put out, but. I don't like Madden. I don't think it's a good game.
I want to stream NFL 95 on Sega.
Whoa, wow.
I saw this Kurt Benkert video last night where he's like, look at this play I found to do in the red zone. It works every time. I should be in jail.
You're doing the thing you shouldn't do if you don't like someone's Twitter content, and that's amplifying it every other phrase you say. All right. Any other thoughts on Jonathan Taylor or next?
It's going to be a weird team that gets him. I don't know. I wish there was like an obvious. Oh, New England. What about New England? But the thing is,
Andre Stevenson,
their best player. They don't have any great skill position players. I think as we talked about last week, or maybe I talked about with you on my show, Bart, where it's like they have all those guys where like if those are your fantasy football players, you're kind of up a creek. Like there's not a lot of special there, but the best guy they have is already a running back. So are they getting that much better if they acquire Jonathan Taylor? Probably not. Anywho, we can move on, Paul.
Brewers question. They were off on Monday. By the time people hear this, they will of course play Tuesday night. Things could change with the Rooster between now and then. That's roster.
Oh.
I made the roster. Did you get the reference?
No, I thought you meant when we were like, what were we saying?
I don't know.
He should be off the roster.
That
one needs to be on the playlist.
You know what else should be on the playlist is when Bart and Horvat did Jordan Love. You'll be the worst quarterback ever.
Yeah, people forget how much their tune has changed over the years. That's right. Mm-hmm.
We need a little G-force.
G-Force. I think that's on Spotify. Let me check.
Okay. So Brewer's question for you about the roster. It hasn't come up to this point in our conversation, so I think it should. As Keston Hira continues to absolutely rake.
Player of the week.
And Nashville sounds first ballot Hall of Famer. There's more and more, you know, as we get closer to September, there's more and more things that I'm seeing of like fans wondering, like, seriously, what is the deal? Like, where is he not coming? Why is he not coming up? So September, when the rosters, how do roster expansions work now? Is it two? Do you only get two more spots? I know back in the day it was like up to like 40, right?
Yeah, but I think
now
they get 28 in the month of September.
So Keston Hira will be called up this season, eventually, finally, by the Milwaukee Brewers. Or actually, let me take that back. Not will be. GM Winkler, GM Bills, Keston Hira should.
Owner, please.
Owner should be called up, in your opinion. He should be called up. He's done enough. You got to find out if he can. You got to give him one more chance to crack at this. They should call up Keston Hira this season. Maybe it's in September when they can do the two extra spots. But this season.
I don't see them using him.
And if you're not going to consistently for at least like the first week or so, you probably don't do it, right?
I mean,
they just got Rowdy back there.
You're not going to play him in the field, so you're not going to DH him. So you're going to bring him for pinch hit spots, and council will probably find a different reason to go with someone else.
Maybe because he prefers playing good players. I mean, council's an ass, but maybe that's one of the reasons he would find.
Well, you're not in the KH train?
Why would you be? He can't play himself out of AAA. I don't know.
Well, he's probably done everything a player possibly could in AAA to get called up. The problem is that we've seen this a few times.
Plenty of players have been great at the AAA level. And it happens at every level where there's players that are killer in AA and they can't make the step, or players that are killer in AAA and they can't make the step. If you want to call up Keston Hiura, cool. I think it's worth a shot. I think the way that Mark Canha and Carlos Santana have been pretty nice additions and Ronnie Tellez is back, I think there's less of a need for him now than there was a need for Keston a month ago. So I think the dying need is past. But if you make the argument, Grant, I want to call up Keston Hiura. Okay. That's fine. But don't preach to me that he's been killer in AAA and that's why we need to bring him up. We've seen this a dozen times now, you know?
And by the way, not that I'm going to advocate for Jesse Winker getting a ton of at-bats, but he's on his way back as well. So, I mean, it's just another person in the way, potentially, where you're saying, oh, this guy or that guy.
Something's in the way.
I don't know that song.
Keep going.
Nirvana.
Is that Our Lady Peace? Bart, they should call up Keston Hiura this season. Mm-hmm. Or mm-hmm. Give him one more chance.
Well, I think so. I mean, look what he's doing at AAA. Just call him off. He's good.
They should have called him up a month ago when everyone was hurt. And they were playing three or four replacement level guys every day.
You gotta look at the theory that he doesn't want to come up. What if they're like, Keston, we're gonna bring you up and he'll practice. I ain't going up for a month or a week and a half. Got to live out of a hotel. Just let Toro go up this time and don't play him. He's like, hey, man, I got a good thing going here. I got a lady down here. I got a great apartment. Nashville's great this time of year. I don't want to go to Milwaukee.
You get to go watch the Reese Witherspoon and Nicole Kidman-led Nashville FC anytime he wants.
Giannis
also. I mentioned him third among this trio of celebrities.
And it's Nashville SC.
Oh, really? They call it soccer?
Mm-hmm. According to a source,
that feels controversial.
Keston Hiura is, quote, not open to leaving Nashville. He is, quote, not open to moving out of Tennessee.
A second source tells me. What happened to that guy?
That's all it takes to get a national radio show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, quote, open. He had, remember that guy? What was his name? Jared?
Was that Jordan Schultz? No.
No, it was Jared Stillman.
Yeah. He had the quickest what are these?
Air quotes.
Quote thingies.
He is, quote, open. This is like the quickest ever.
I like that his realtor was a source and it was just some random dude.
I had a source call the Thrill Michaels show last week. Didn't want to go on the air. Nothing pisses me off more, by the way, than when people call during commercial breaks. I don't want to go on. I just wanted to, man, this is my break. I'm sitting here for 3 minutes. Let me itch my nuts and scroll my phone for 3 minutes before I have to go back on the radio, okay? They'll be like, no, I don't have time to go on air. I just wanted to tell you. This guy lives up in Tomahawk, and Mason Crosby apparently has a cabin up there, and he spends his days up north, snowmobiling in the winter, of course, but in the summer, getting in his practice kicks at the local high school. And this caller swears that Mason Crosby is waiting idly by for the phone call, and he's staying close by waiting for the phone call. I don't know if there's any truth to it. I tried to get off the phone as quickly as possible because it was a 5 minute commercial break. A 5 minute commercial break, Bart, that's everything. You can do anything and everything during a 5 minute commercial.
Wow.
This guy wanted to call and tell me about Tomahawk, but I don't know. A source.
I had someone tell me, and it they may be listening to this show right now and they know who they are, but I knew that Brad Leonard was going to Illinois 2 weeks before he went.
Brad Leonard?
Brad Leonard is a guy I went to high school with.
Okay.
Jim Leonard.
Oh.
Jim Leonard.
I thought I was like, oh, yeah, that's before my time, obviously.
Brad Leonard is a guy I went to high school with.
Jesus Christ.
Jim Leonard.
I think I know who your source was on this.
Jim, I don't think you do.
I'm just kidding.
Oh. Jim Leonard went to Illinois. I knew he was going there.
And he could have broken that news, and he didn't.
Well, what am I going to say?
You could have said, let me write your script for you. Jim Leonard is, quote, open
to joining Ballcrest.
The Illinois program.
How great is it that Brett Bielema hired him, by the way? Because Brett Bielema made up an analyst job and sold Jim Leonard on taking this analyst job. Jim Leonard could work an hour a week. Brett Bielema does not give a shit. Brett Bielema just did this, and he's thrilled, and he should be, because it's funny that he got to be the reason that there was a headline out there that a Big Ten West rival had hired Jim Leonard. He did all of this just to do that. And that is I am so back in.
Kind of like when the game hired Chuck just for the headline.
Yeah. Yep.
And then buried him.
Yep.
So I have two more Brewers should call up, because these, you know, we're getting close to that time of year. I'm going to ask them in tandem. And this is, I'm sure I saw this at least partially through either Brett and Tosa tweeting about it or responding to tweets. So I'm going to ask them in conjunction. The Brewers this year should call up Tyler Black. The Brewers this year should call up Jackson Churio. Mm-hmm or mm-mm on those two. This season.
Grant, you might know more than me. I say no. I'm not like following Tyler Black's at-bats with like obsession. Like, I feel like I'm the only one not. Churio, you can wait on Churio.
You can. Should you? I mean,
where is he? Double A? So you don't think Keston can hit big league pitching after smashing Double A? And you think this 19-year-old kid is going to hit bombs off Spencer Strider?
Yeah, Paul. What are you saying?
I don't know.
I think, like...
Well, so I'm actually surprised by your answer, Bart, because I would have thought in this era of like you have Burns, you have Woodruff, you have Peralta, you have Devin Williams, you have this pitching staff, that you would do anything you could to inject more pop into your batting order. I am always the patient one. I think a few weeks ago, Bart, you asked me like, dude, how long do you think you're going to live? Like, I would just say you did. Remember this whole thing where you said you're always maximizing your – you asked that question. It was awkward. I would take the patient approach. I'd be very worried that I would
mess up. I think I'll hit 85 if I make it past 45.
So there's a – okay, you got to get past 45 to get to 85. I would take the patient
– we're a little touch and go here.
So I'm going to say, as I zoom past your almost – 40, you're almost 40, so you're almost at your midlife crisis. I'm going to say mm-mm to both, because I would take the patient approach and be worried that I would mess something up. You can't mess these up. By the way, they also might get Garrett Mitchell back. So like, that's a name we didn't mention in this string of possible 2023 late season additions from injury. So I'm going to say, as much as I would be very, very curious and glued to my TV if they did get called up, not that I'm not watching regardless, but like it would be like absolute must-see TV. I'm going to say, take the patient approach. But that's typically how I view these things, is to take the patient approach. Grant, your thoughts.
I am in 2016, 2017 Jason Kidd Radio Joe Bucks postgame show mode with this Brewers team, in that I just want them to get in. And anything that happens after that is icing on the cake. And I know that kind of sounds like a loser mentality, but if they can get in and have an awesome rough and rowdy first or second round series that they lose, but Joey Weimer and Bryce Terang and Sal Frelick like all get this experience, and Christian Yelich feels like he's kind of back into the swing of normal things, then we can hit the ground running next year and the year after, when hopefully a lot of these young guys are starting to come into
their own. But that's also the time that Burns leaves and Woodruff leaves, and like
you're preaching to the choir on that. You're preaching to the Bites of the Apple choir. I understand that. I do. But I don't think calling up Jackson Churio or Tyler Black gets them any close to a title this year. I just think then you're adding in another young player's mouth that you need to feed with the bats, and you need things to go well for that player. And if not, you're actually doing more harm than good. So I would just stay focused on the young guys they have up here. And if Garrett Mitchell can come back, great. Get them meaningful baseball reps in September and hopefully October, so they have a feeling for what that's like. They have a feeling for fighting off a division team and locking down a playoff spot. And then they have that experience going into next year and the year after. I don't think bringing in more young guys helps.
By the way, since we last, was it a week ago or 2 weeks ago, where we talked about the lefty-righty split stats for Joey Weimer,
uh-huh.
I don't know if you've noticed how pronounced it is now where Council does not use Weimer against righty pitching anymore. Like fifth inning, what game was it where Frelick came in for Weimer in the fifth when whatever team it was changed pitchers from a righty or from a lefty to a righty? Yeah. I think we're already finding out what Weimer is and isn't, which is a great, great hitter against lefties and someone you cannot play against righties. Bart, any other thoughts? So I don't think you've answered yet, Bart. Are you calling these guys up?
No. To use an analogy.
Oh, you're good at these.
You have brought home some really delicious take and bake pizza that you know is going to be just, people are going to be like, is this delivery? Like, no. It's fucking DiGiorno.
That's where I thought you were going.
You don't take the pizza out when it's not fully cooked. Then you're like, well, it was going to be great. Should have let it cook a little more. Let these guys cook by not letting them cook.
We all agree. So we all went with don't call them up. But I do think it's interesting. What team was it that was it? The Angels just called up their 2023 draft pick, who they drafted a month and a half ago.
Yeah, anything they do is fucking stupid.
That's what I'm saying. Like, don't take your cues from the Angels. Yes. The Reds just called up yet another young player, Marte, to add to their collection of guys who I think like historically would have been left in the minors longer, either because of service time BS, like, you know, the Chris Bryan situation back in whatever, 2013 or whatever with the Cubs when he was a rookie and they stalled it until April 15th or whatever. Teams are doing this more. They're just saying, all right, bring them up. Let's see what happens, which I think is interesting. I think that's a good thing for baseball, but I would take the conservative approach with my team. And I think, Bart, it's actually – I like what you said, too, about – or was it Grant, sorry, that said about, like, too many other young mouths to feed.
That was me.
If they had a veteran-laden team –
I did the DiGiorno bit.
Sorry, how could I have mistaken, like, the guy who went for the DiGiorno's analogy versus the – it's
fucking DiGiorno.
Baseball analysis. If they didn't have all the other youths on the roster, I think you could –
you know, somewhere in America, there was like a, you're kidding me. This isn't delivery. Like, it was like, cause you know, somewhere it happened. And he's like, I'm telling you, I'll show you the box. This is a DiGiorno pizza. You're fucking with me, man. You had to have delivered this. It's not delivery.
It's DiGiorno. It's in the same family as the, that's not a Buick. And then that's what I told him. I also enjoy the Buick commercials. I will say that every time. I don't splurge for the DiGiorno's. I get the Jacks. And no one has ever accused me of ordering delivery when I've served them at Jacks. They're well aware of what kind of pizza they're eating.
Love Jacks.
I do as well. I keep a jar of banana peppers in my fridge, sprinkle some of those on there, take it up a notch. Not many notches.
Jardiniere,
yep, Italian. That's my Italian recipe, Italian frozen pizza. Mm-hmm.
So, Grant, I'm guessing we're getting close to the end of your time allotment.
I do have to go in a couple minutes.
I have one more question I'm going to ask the two of you. Mostly I'm going to ask this to Bart. But then, Grant, when you leave, listeners alert, I'm going to ask Bart some wrestling questions, some program.
And listeners alert, I'm going to save those for later in the week.
Oh, you are?
Probably.
Okay.
I don't know what Friday's show is going to look like yet. So.
Okay. That is disappointing, but okay.
We'll see.
We'll see. The last one. What's
the last question?
The last one asked the two of you, which is non-sports. Bart, Monday night, other breaking news. Nicolas Cage is back as Ghost Rider in Avengers Secret Wars? Is this the big thing?
Coming to your boy.
Is that happening?
You didn't see it? I'm breaking Marvel news to you?
What?
Nick Cage, Ghost Rider, Avengers Secret Wars.
So what they're doing is,
yes, Nicolas Cage making MCU debut, joining the Avengers as Ghost Rider. Yes.
So I've done a lot of the MCU rewatch. I'm up to the post Endgame stuff now. I'm on What If and then WandaVision. But then when I get to Spider-Man, I'm going to watch all the Sony Spider-Mans, the Garfield and the Tobey Maguire.
Wow.
And then when I get to, like, when I finish, then I'm going to have to go watch all the old, like, because I think Deadpool 3, and I haven't seen the first Deadpools.
Really? Oh, wow.
But I think Deadpool 3 is going to be, like, them taking that timeline of the X-Men and Ghost Rider and all that other shit and bringing it in and, like, killing the timeline.
Hmm.
It's pretty extensive.
Sounds like it.
It's the greatest. I love it. I can't wait.
But yes, it is happening.
Well, good. I got to go watch Ghost Rider then.
Have you seen the old ones?
No. No.
Grant, you ever watched?
I got to watch a lot of these movies I skipped on purpose.
National Treasure is Nicolas Cage's alma mater, magnum opus. I am one of the greatest.
Some would say Family Man. Which was kind of just like a ripoff of Mr. Destiny.
What was the one movie what was the movie
Nick Cage is married to T.A. Leone, and then they like, what if I would have done this kind of movie?
Did you guys see, I gotta make sure I'm gonna tell you the right title, that recent movie that he did, The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent? Oh, so, so, so good. You saw it, Grant?
No.
Oh, it's wonderful.
I have a lot of
movies. I don't really like Nick Cage movies.
No, no. This one, he is like, he's Nick Cage as Nick Cage.
I'm a cat. I just think of Abed doing him in Community, and that kind of ruins Nick Cage for me.
It's a wonderful movie with Pedro Pascal.
I do like Pedro. He's daddy.
What about Renfield?
Was that good?
I didn't see it. That also
looked like kind of a funny movie.
Renfield?
I did not see it. Hmm. I know my buddy, not my buddy, I wish, Ben Schwartz, the guy I really like, Ben Schwartz is in there. That's why I would have seen it.
Good buddy, Ben Schwartz?
No, but yeah. I think we'd be good buddies, when in reality we are not. That's all I got except for wrestling questions. Which I don't want to minimize, because I have an elite, pun unintentionally but now intended, question for Bart on wrestling. I think it's going to be a great question.
Well, I'll let you guys loose. I'm going to go to work. I'll see everyone at the tailgate. I can't wait. I know this will air on the, but I can't hold back my excitement. I'll break down the fourth wall or whatever it is and say I'm very excited for the tailgate. So, yes. I'll talk to you gentlemen next week.
Bye, Grant.
See you soon, pal.
See you. Bye.